For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Believe in Hornets podcast on the Believe Podcast Network. My name is Sam. I have Muggsy Bogues with me. Muggsy, how are you?
I'm all well, my brother. How you doing, Sam?
I'm doing all right. I'm doing all right. I realized after we recorded our first episode, I didn't really introduce myself. But I just like, hey, I'm Sam. But for those who are wondering who the hell I am, my name is Sam Dracula. It's a weird name, I know. But when your real last name is Smith, you got to get creative. On the internet, all Sam Smith, everything's taken online, so you got to switch it up where you can. Also, shout out to the Munsters. I have a YouTube channel covering the Hornets. That's kind of how this all folds together. And, of course, a man who needs no introduction, Muggsy Bogues, the star of the show here.
No, I'm not the star of the show. Sam, I am the man is the star of the show, guys.
Oh, man. Thank you. I appreciate it. I'm a clip that. And put that on my resume. I need that.
There you go.
Awesome. Well, thank you all so much for coming through and showing support on episode one. We're going to be here every week covering the Hornets, the ins and outs, getting Muggsy's expertise. We're going to have guests on to talk about the Hornets current and past. Very excited that this podcast and project is here. And so speaking of the podcast, this what you're listening to now, we're going to get into the first two preseason games with the Hornets. Against the Raptors, we're going to get our first impressions of our guys. We're going to talk about the Raptors themselves and what to look out for with the remaining two preseason games against the Magic. Because, disclaimer, we're recording this before the Magic games happen. So if you're wondering what's going on, that's what's going on. But another friendly reminder, if you like what you hear, tell a friend, subscribe, leave us a rating. It'll help the show, help the reach of the show, help us out a ton, and let us know that you like what you hear. You know, you can't go wrong with that. You can find the show on iTunes, Spotify, on YouTube. Like, check us out. If you hear us, I guess you're already hearing us. So tell someone you like about the show. Make their day.
Just tune in. Basically what he's saying, just tune on in. And come on and get everybody else to tune in too.
Yeah, don't keep the show for yourself, you know?
Yeah.
But, you know, spread the love. So let's start. We got to start on a downer of sorts. The big free agent signing for the summer, or no, I keep saying the summer because I'm so used to the normal NBA timeline of the offseason. Mm-hmm. Gordon Hayward picked up a finger fracture injury in the last game. Fortunately, that injury seems to be a day-to-day type injury and won't be out for a long stretch. So, Muggsy, what went through your head when you heard about the Gordon Hayward injury initially?
Well, of course, I'm quite sure I'm not the only one concerned, you know, because of his history. You know, he has a history of being injury prone. And here it is, when you give someone that kind of a contract and you're looking for him to be out there night in and night out. And when you have an injury that prevents that kind of concerns you. And luckily that it's not as serious as, you know, we won and that has been noted, but a finger is on the shooting hand. So anything, you know, close to on that hand that dominant hand is always a concern for me. But again, we got in today's medicine world, you know, they get us back on the court quickly. So hopefully that the Hornets, and I know they got a great medical a team over there, and they're going to do everything that's possible to get him back safely so he can join the team.
And what about the timing of it? Because I got to, you know, never played in the NBA, guilty, but like we're in the preseason, guys are trying to get ready for the regular season. It's a shortened season. What does this type of injury, being on the shelf for, let's say, a week or 2 weeks at the worst, how does that, like, what goes through a player's mind when you have that kind of setback? Because, like, are you thinking at it like you have to start from zero again and go through your whole ramp up again, getting ready for the season? Does that interrupt your preparation for the season? Like, what are your thoughts on, like, the timing of this injury and him getting ready for the regular season?
It definitely become frustrated because, again, you know, you've been sitting out and here it is, training camp just started and preseason was right around the corners as, you know, training camp began. So, you know, when you can't participate, you know, it can affect your win, your conditioning, as well as the chemistry, especially being a new player coming in, trying to fit in with the guys. But luckily, again, it happened early during the preseason. It's not as serious, you know, as they alluded to. And he can get back, you know, probably a week or so to time it. But luckily and gratefully that it's not his legs or anything of that nature where he can't walk through some of the things that they be going through on the floor. He can still participate in that regards because it's his finger. But again, it just kind of, you know, it just frustrates you because you can't participate with the guys that you're trying to build this chemistry with.
Yep. And I thought, you know, I thought we saw some good things from him when he was on the floor. Very confident on the ball. Like, if he looked like a real NBA veteran out there amongst the younger players, which is super beneficial.
Absolutely.
One thing I want to one thing I want to talk about is like the atmosphere of these games, because I was just I got used to the bubble. Like, watching those games, you got accustomed to seeing the faces on the screens, the music, the noise. But like from regular basketball to no basketball to bubble to no basketball again, now to this this COVID aware environment where different arenas will have different setups. I guess some cities are having crowds and like small number of crowds and some won't. What do you think of like the atmosphere at the Spectrum Center for these games with the fake crowd noise specifically?
Well, it was going to affect them in some way, but not as much as one would think, because once you get between those lines, it become what the goal is at the task at hand, and trying to, you know, put that together and go out there and put together the game plan that coach came up with. But again, it's when you're in the bubble, see, they had opportunity, as you mentioned and alluded to, when playing in the bubble, but they was playing on one court. They didn't travel. Even though it wasn't no fans there. But now this is the opportunity where you're playing in your own arena. No fans. Some may have fans, some may not. But if you're home, but the Hornets, speaking of the Hornets situation, if they have fans in there, if they don't, you know, you just got to really build off the teammates. And because you used to hand that sixth man, get you going, you know, we use that. You know, that's the adrenaline for us in times where things are not going well. They could get us back into the game. So not having that, you got to rely more or less on your teammates and trying to find a way to overcome whatever, you know, negativity that's going at the particular time. But it also could be a beneficial because, you know, a lot of guys who are not used to playing hand that heckler in the stands, you know, because every arena has one. And that heckler could really be very voiceful and can get under your skin. And it could kind of affect your game somewhat, but you don't have to be dealing with that. So these guys ain't really worrying about that. And you can hear everything in the arena now.
Yeah.
You know, you can hear everything in the arena, you know. So everything's calling the plays out and everything. So, you know, it affects you in that perspective. But once you're between the lines, it's just hooping. You know, the guys really competing against the other team. And hopefully that you can execute the game plan that the coach came up with.
Yeah, I got a kick out of like watching LaMelo. He would take a shot and he'll miss a shot, and then the Raptors bench would like start barking at him. And then LaMelo makes a shot and then kind of looks over to the Raptors bench and like, yeah, what are you going to say now? Like that element of, like you mentioned, relying on your teammates. You don't have that 10,000-20,000 people arena of people. Like you have a, it's like a you're playing to a much smaller audience with your teammates and the enemies on the other side. That's really cool. I got a kick out of that in the preseason. How would you, what would you think about playing in this where you can like, where the trash talk is like being, you can hear someone trash talk from across the court with like no interference from the crowd.
Yeah, we got it. We experienced that in the bubble with Rondo and Russell Westbrook, brother, down there in the bubble. But you're right, you can hear it when trash talk could take place. But I mean, that's part of the game. And that's something that, you know, every player, you know, gamed up for. Mm-hmm. But this is, hey, this is what we here to play. And that's what they're here for. Right now, you know, the Hornets, you know, Melo just having fun. You know, he have an opportunity to trying to, you know, find himself. You know, it's his NBA debut now, and he got 2 games under his belt, feeling good about himself in terms of getting that now behind him and trying to, you know, trying to gain the confidence and the respect of his teammates. And that's the beauty thing about preseason. You get to have mistakes and go through that. And at the same time, you're still trying to know how I can get better and how I can kind of, you know, have an impact for this franchise. Because I was quite sure they're expecting that out of me. He's probably thinking.
Oh, definitely, definitely. And to that effect, right now, he's not in the starting lineup. And which is
rightfully so.
You had to earn your spot. And the Hornets have really two really good guards right now. You have to take the bull by its horns.
Which he can learn from, you know. It's a good opportunity that he ain't got to come in and not throwing him in the fire. He get an opportunity to learn behind two good guards and Devontae, just a young guard within himself, but had the opportunity to learn behind Kemba Walker, you know, one of the best guards out there. So now he's trying to, you know, continue, you know, and players, you kind of wonder, okay, well, why he playing my same position? Why would I want to help him? But that's just what we do. That's just teammates looking out for teammates. And because we all in it for the same purpose, you know, the ultimate goal is to win. And I think we benefit each other by helping each other. And I think that's what Devontae Graham and Terry Rozier understand that because someone did it for them. And they're going to, you know, make sure they bring Melo along the right way and where he can have an opportunity to grow as opposed to just being thrown in the fire.
Yep. And we saw, you mentioned Terry, Devontae at the guard spot and the seemingly favorited starting five, Gordon Hayward in the first 2 games, Cody Martin is replacing him while he's out on the injury. And then PJ at the 4 with Cody Zeller at the 5 seems to be the preferred starting five right now from Coach Borrego. And then with the second unit being the Martin twins, LaMelo, Miles Bridges, and Bismack Biyombo. Now, those last three names, LaMelo, Miles, and Biyombo, those guys seem to be meshing extraordinarily well. Like, that Biz and LaMelo specifically, LaMelo seems to be looking out for Biz on the court. And Biz seems to be going out of his way to like put his arm around him. And like, LaMelo seems to be Biz's rookie, like his mentor on the court, which is really refreshing to see that they're paying that much, that close attention to LaMelo's development. And it's great for Biz because LaMelo's looking out for him. Biz can do things still on the court. He's no scrub. And so if you have a guy like LaMelo who's looking to – basically I'm getting at, I think we're going to see the best Bismack Biyombo.
Well, Biz know how to get fed. Biz know how to get fed. Know I'm limited. I know I need to keep my arms around this young fella because he's got an IQ that's off the chart. And if I just move and get into open space, he's going to find me. So I got to make sure that I keep him feeling good about himself. But that's a good thing with veterans do. Bringing him along in that way – and he gonna help Biz tremendously because Biz is a guy that runs the floor. He's athletic. He can play without the basketball. And of course he's limited with his offenses, but right around the basket, you know, one pass and a dunk, that's all you need, you know, and that young fella seemed to be doing that. And it's going to be up and down for him, but right now he's finding a way to have a pick and roll chemistry with Biz because he's able to get into the lane and the guy's got to help and he's able to find Biz, you know, with a spectacular pass thus far. Of course, he's going to be scouted as they go further into the season. So teams going to take away, you know, his strength and make him play towards his weakness. more so. So he got to understand that going forward. And hopefully, you know, the guys around him can you know, point those things out so we can minimize some of those mistakes, you know, so he can really have a pretty good season.
Oh, definitely. And like LaMelo looking out for Miles, like we got a lot of highlights in two games. Yeah. Even that first game where LaMelo didn't score, which is totally fine. He had like 10 rebounds, like deal. If you want to grab 10 boards and not score any points, I'm cool with that. I'm not mad at that at all.
Well, that's what a point guard IQ. When you got a high IQ, you got to understand sometimes we don't have to score in order to take over a basketball game. You know what I mean? Because we understand the pace of the game, we control the tempo, and we know how to get others around us involved. And he understands that. And but that's the, you know, the process that he's going to have to go through with the shot. But I'm not even worried about the passing ability and the understanding of the game, because he knows that. He has that. It's a matter of the growth of having confidence in the shot, having understanding, not get so caught up and have to take in that shot, you know, because you can get demoralized and your confidence could go down when people are expecting you to do certain things and you trying to fill their expectations, where you got to let that be a process in your game. You got to let that evolve, and you got to stay to your strength and keep bound that, you know, more so to where the negativity, the positive outshine the negativity. And I think he will understand that. And I think the coaches will give him that understanding as well. And he can have a pretty, you know, impactful season with the Hornets.
Yeah. And I think it goes back to what you mentioned before about him coming off the bench, at least initially. Mm-hmm. Where you can only you put him in positions to succeed, and if you feel like it's not working, rather than having his confidence get knocked, you take him out, bring on the vets, and they can handle things until LaMelo's ready again. Like, there's a really good dynamic I think there with the guard spot and a depth that will be really helpful with these this compact season with a lot of games in a short period of time.
And that's what coach is trying to do, and you know, trying to find out what he has. You know, how many bodies he can use, what type of rotation that he's going to be available for him. And that's what you use the preseason for. And so I'm quite sure that's what he kind of going through, putting different units out there, seeing what works, and so he can make that ultimate decision.
Yeah, and speaking of decisions, we're seeing PJ play on a kind of a new spot on the floor at the five. Mm-hmm. It seems to be very specific depending on the other team's lineup. Right. It didn't seem like, because like Aaron, I guess the Raptors, they really have Aaron Baines. It was like they're big, I guess. Like at one point, Miles started at the second quarter of the first game, I think, at the five. Mm-hmm. And at that point, the biggest guy on the court for the Raptors was Siakam. So like as a fan, I'm like, okay, cool. We're not going to get tore up inside because all he has to do is guard Matt Thomas.
6'10", 6'11".
Yeah. But he's like more like a perimeter guy. Like I don't see him posting up. Mm-hmm. I think one of the Martins was actually guarding him. But
yeah, he was.
I love the confidence out of PJ first of all. Like his ability to grab a board, bring the ball up, and shoot a shot. Like yes, give me more of that. Yeah. I'm a huge PJ fan, and if his confidence is sky high, I think he's gonna only continue to get better. And I think we're seeing that thus far in the preseason, regardless of what position he's playing.
Now, I'm a PJ fan, too. I was one of the ones that told them they should take him, you know, when he was available at 12. And he hasn't, you know, disappointed me since. And he can have an opportunity to kind of start to put a stamp on some things with his game, you know, playing the five position. But it's going to be challenging. It depends on, as you mentioned, some of the teams that he matches up with. But his confidence is sky high right now. He believes he can knock down that three. He's shooting it pretty confidently. And that's going to bring the bigs out close. And then he also have the ability to put it on the floor. So that's really going to, you know, continue to build his confidence. And I like that opportunity with him playing the five and Miles and Melo pushing it. And you got the two guys out there shooting. You know, we can get away with that at times. And I think that could be some exciting basketball. You know, when you get an easy basket, a lot of excitement, a lot of electricity, you know, take place, you know, on that floor when you're out there, you know, operating in that regard. So I like that. And that's what coaches, you know, he's going to be afforded with, you know, having that type of availability with these guys. And I think that's what he's trying to find out, who's going to be there, what my rotation is going to look like. and how we, you know, when the opening of the season stuff.
Well, you mentioned like pushing for PJ out of college in the draft. What was it? What'd you see out of PJ at Kentucky that you thought would translate over to the NBA? And is it panning out as you expected?
Well, for one, the latter part of the season, you know, his confidence in shooting the basketball, you know, he was really starting to come into his own. I saw the versatility and then the availability who was there during the draft. And a lot of them was talking about, you know, Archer Moore down in Washington. But I really had my eye on PJ because I think what the Hornets needed at that time and what was in the draft, you know, it wasn't that deep. But what they had in the draft, you know, and his, you know, still being available at that position, I think that could be a start for them in terms of what the franchise could look like in the future. You know, a guy that has a lot of heart for one, who ain't backing down from nobody, but brings a lot of versatility and has a lot of upsides to his game.
Yeah, I did a video on my channel, I think it was like the spring, just rewatching Hornets drafts and just listening to what the commentators were saying about the rookies. And you watched what like Reese Davis and like those analysts were saying about Devontae Graham, Miles Bridges, and PJ Washington. All were, these guys were overlooked and had like from one year to another year in college really shown that they can add to their game and make a serious leap. And all three of those dudes had the same kind of theme about them coming into the NBA. And then with the benefit of hindsight, seeing these guys get better in the NBA, like you see that common trajectory. They went from point A to point B in college. Now they're in the pros. They're going from point B to point C, C to D, like that constant like upward trajectory. To see PJ in the starting lineup, first off, to see PJ, like, what, he drained like 7 threes in his first NBA game?
Yeah.
And then fast forward a year later to now where he's in the starting lineup being relied upon to do multiple things speaks a lot about him as a person and as a player. Like, I'm very excited that he's part of the franchise and to see where he goes as a fan.
Absolutely. And they all had a different journey. And of course, you know, with Devontae, you know, had to go hit his route to get to where he is in terms of being a two-way player and now growing and having PJ and Miles. Of course, we got that lower relation with one another, all three of us, you know, being drafted number 12 and you know, overall. So I kind of always have that little trivia for me, you know, they don't even know about that. But that's something that I always talk about, the 12 players been selected in the draft. But, you know, but you can see the, you know, and it was expected for these guys to be this, you know, to grow into the player that they starting to become. And that was the, you know, the game plan, that was the vision when they selected these guys, knowing the upside they have. And so that's the beauty of it. And they're good individuals, they're good characters, you know, and you're creating culture as well when you select type of individual, you know, such as Miles and PJ and adding like a Devontae, there you go, and a Devontae Graham to the mix. So, you know, you when you got that type of core under your organization, you know, now that's where you build from. And that's what they've done, you know, adding a guy, a piece like Melo, Gordon Hayward, you know, and even the kid McDaniels, you know, who people don't talk much about. And I really like his upside because he really stretches the floor. He could put the ball on the floor as well. And he play defense. And having that length and having that ability, you know, it just gives you so much versatility. And I think his confidence, too, is starting to grow. So I think he's looking for more opportunities. And I think when he do get it, he will really, you know, showcase what he's all about. So I'm excited about this upcoming season. I really am, because of things that's happened, the way they put it together, you know, got rid of some of the guys in terms of contracts and some of the pieces that just didn't fit. But now you got pieces that fit, and we're going to try to see how that puzzle come together.
Yeah, and we got to see our players tested against the Toronto Raptors, a very, very good team. And in each of those first quarters, the Hornets outplayed the Raptors. when it was largely starter for starter. I know the Raptors were without Kyle Lowry, but we took it to them. The Hornets took it to them. And, you know, the games, you know, went away, like the Hornets through turnovers and missed free throws, what have you. Like the Raptors were really good. They made their runs and they won each game. But I know that that stuff is hard for me, at least, it's hard to like wrap my head around, because it's not, you know, we rested our starters at some point. They rested their starters. It's not like how much weight do you put on a win? But I thought our guys played very well for the most part in those games. Turnovers aside. But that will come, right, as you go through preseason.
I mean, the first game, I mean, you know you're going to see sloppiness, especially when you got a short preseason, short training camp, and you're rolling right into preseason. So you're going to see a lot of sloppiness. That's to be expected. But again, it's preseason. You know, you said that they jumped up on the Raptors, and you know, the Raptors, you know, they championship pedigree type team. So, you know, they just trying to find their way, getting their, you know, feet under their feet under themselves, and trying to gain their conditioning and so forth. Just like the Hornets as well. But you wanted to see what the Hornets wanted to see what they have, you know, because you had so many things, so many new pieces that you wanted to find out about. The Raptors, you know, they've been stable. You know, they got guys that have been, you know, on their roster for quite some time, even though they had some new additions, the kid Terrence Davis, who's, you know, playing lights out over there, as well as the kid Flynn. You know, Flynn has been balling and, you know, showcasing that, hey, Kyle Lowry, you out, you know, stay out a little longer so I can get some more minutes, you know. So, you know, it's preseason. That's what it's, you know, that's what preseason is all about. You know, guys trying to, you know, find their game, find their conditions. Coaches trying to find who available, what's going to be available for me during the season, and who I can go for, and who I can count on.
Yep. And so we have two more games left to see what happens. Who emerges in those? Who emerges? Who regresses? Like, do we see Malik Monk get more minutes? We only saw him for a little bit in game two. I know he's coming off COVID. He needs to take his time getting right. Because of the state of the roster, there's no real rush to get him involved. Like he can take his time getting his legs and lungs ready. But with the remaining games against the Magic, is there anything you're looking out for with the squad? How important is it to get a win out of these two games going into the season, or is it not important at all, given that it's preseason?
Yeah, well, I mean, every coach would definitely love to get a win. You definitely want to get a win because, you know, that game plan that you put together, you know, it was successful. But, you know, if you don't, you know, they always try to look at something positive they can take out of it. You know, whatever that may be, you know, the conditioning, the chemistry, what we're trying to do offensively, defensively. And now we go into the season, we could clean all this stuff up. So they don't hang their stuff up too much on the wins and the losses. It's more or less evaluation process, and they're just trying to find out before the season who's going to be available, what we have, what type of defense, how defense is looking, how the offense is, you know, how we're executing on both ends, you know, and then my rotation, you know, who I'm going to go with right now. Early on, I'm going to go with 10, 11, or right now I'm going to shorten it to 9. So, you know, they're trying to figure out all that during preseason, getting ready for that upcoming season.
All right, yeah, I'm excited for it. I was very concerned as a cord cutter of my ability to watch these games. I missed like the first 5 minutes of the first quarter of the first game because I AT&T TV Now was just like, hey, we're gonna show you some. What were they showing me? It was like a boxing event from I don't know when, instead of the actual game, until like switched over. It was like, what? Don't do this to me. Like, I know it's preseason for the networks too. So they got it right. Yeah. Game two, flawless. Got to see Eric Collins and Del Curry do their thing in pregame. I forgot how much I missed those guys. Like the announcers are so good. I love that energy.
I was watching them too. I was about to go through the screen when I heard Del talk about a Melo pass looked like Mark Jackson. I'm like, what the heck is he talking about? I'm glad that Eric kind of corrected him and told him, no, it's more like a poor man, Muggsy Bogues. Hey. Yeah. So I got to let him know about that.
Yeah, shoot him a text. Man. Yeah. Watch it. I'm watching, but just send him the eyes emojis. Like, I'm watching. Be careful. All right. Well, that'll do it for this week's episode. We'll be back next week on December 23rd, the season opener. We're coming at you with our season preview. That'll lead nicely into the season opener that evening against the Cavaliers. So it's Fast and Furious coming up. The NBA season is finally back. And I don't speak for Muggs, but like we're here for it. We're so excited for it.
Absolutely, but I can't wait. You know, this is the best time of the year for me, you know, basketball season.
Yeah, it's an early Christmas present, really. Like,
yeah, and then we're going to have a Christmas game. So that's really going to be icing on the cake. Sitting back and enjoying all the wonderful gifts that take place that day.
Yeah. So, thank you guys so much for checking out the Believe in Hornets podcast and the Believe Podcast Network. And we'll talk to you soon.
Talk to you later, guys. Appreciate you.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.